Get ready to celebrate God's call to go. Here's your weekly dose of heartwarming encouragement for the missionary in all of us. Welcome to Missions Change My Life. Now here's your host, Pastor Kevin.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Kevin, founder and executive director of Global Hope India, and your host for Missions Change My Life podcast. This is a poor kid from rural North Carolina that has now flown over a million miles to 27 different countries. I've taken nearly 1,000 people on mission trips to India. We've collected millions for God's work among Indian nationals. I will be sharing compelling stories of radical transformation from ordinary people. Buckle up, you're gonna hear some amazing stories. I'm gonna take you right inside 20 plus years of real life mission trip devotional moments. And we will be sharing practical tools to empower and equip you. Go to globalhopeindia.org/resources as God uses missions to change your life. It is my highest honor to welcome Andrew to Missions Change My Life today. Thanks, Andrew, for being here.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. I really appreciate the opportunity to come and share my story of missions in India.
Well, I'm blessed to get to know so many people that I've been able to take over to India. Many of those, in all honesty, is just a short-term trip. And I know of them in preparation of their trip, during the trip, and after the trip. And a lot of those, life goes on and we move away from each other. But I've been really blessed to get to know Andrew and to share life with him for many years when we were together at Summit Church and then on mission trip at Global Hope India. And then Andrew was a part of our board of directors. Andrew, I just can't thank you enough for your friendship and your leadership and all that you've done for Global Hope India, as well as for the beautiful people of India.
Oh, yeah. Well, to be honest, the journey has been very interesting. I had no idea about how God was going to take my life and where I'm from and just my story and how it just intermixed with India. So that's been a whirlwind, but it's been awesome to
yeah.
be part of. So, and well, yeah, I really enjoy having time to spend and meet and really get to know you, Kevin.
Well, that's going to make a great episode on the podcast. And so somebody should start a podcast about how missions have changed people's lives. That'd be a great idea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So actually, welcome to Missions Change My Life. And let's get to know Andrew. Share with us how you came to faith, your family, and we'll get to the part of where God took you on a mission trip with Global mm-hmm. Hope India. But I'd love just for our listeners to get to know Andrew.
Okay. So I am from Eastern North Carolina. I grew up in a rural small town. Kevin, your story is very similar to mine in that. And mm-hmm. just from not a very big place, we call it farm country out in Eastern North Carolina. And so I grew up in the church. My parents, from the time I was young and as long as I can remember, took me to church. We went to a small Baptist church there. There's even in the rural part of the state here in North Carolina, there's churches on every street corner. Mm-hmm. And so it was just to me, commonplace. I was just used to going to church. I was used to hearing about God and Jesus. And I had heard about everything, the Bible. I mean, not everything, mm-hmm. but as a kid, you grew up and you feel like, oh, this is just a part of life. Mm-hmm. It was just normal for me. And so, but in the midst of that, I think it was about 9 years old. There was a sermon, finally old enough, I guess when I was about 7 or 6, they bring you in, you actually sit in the main service to actually listen. Because mm-hmm. other than when you're smaller than that, you know, you're just a distraction in church. But at that time, the pastor was giving I can't remember the exact word he was giving at that time, but I believe, especially going back and reading scripture, that it was based out of like Romans 3, where it's like, no one's good. No one can like approach God. No one's perfect. Because I thought at that point, and growing up in church, even hearing about God and Jesus, my understanding at the time was, oh, as long as I'm good, as long as I come to church, like that's, I'm in good standing with God. And so that message just kind of rearranged my understanding. And that's where I feel like I've heard the gospel for the first time. I was like, look, I am a sinner. I understood just what's wrong with me. And I had to admit it, because when you hear that message, you're like, well, you're like, I'm a good person. A lot of people will say that when you talk mm-hmm. to them. But for me, I was like, I'm a good person. But then I can also think about the things that where I've struggled and mm-hmm. sin in my life. And I was like, okay, I had to be honest here. That's me. I have fallen short here. And then, you know, the rest of the gospel was explained in the second part of the sermon. It was like, look, this is bad, but there's Jesus who made a way for us. Mm-hmm. He is the way. We can't be good enough to get into heaven. Jesus is the only way. So I heard the gospel when I was about 9 years old, accepted Christ in the church there. Had a lot of growing to still do in my walk with God, and going on missions was a big part of that, actually. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was my story of how I came to know Christ at a young age, and just it's a little bit about my background in the faith.
So walk us on into young adult Andrew and going to college, and what has God done in your life?
Up into the high school, and I was a really shy kid. I didn't like to, like right now on a podcast, I would have been terrified to be on a mic or being on a TV screen or really do anything like that. And graduated college, came here to Raleigh, North Carolina for school at NC State University. And that's when God really started to open my, I was a believer, but there were some things in my life that I had been wanting to have control over. Mm-hmm. And he really opened my eyes during my 4 years at college about, listen, it needs to be about me. Your life is for me. I had all these plans when I went to school. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. I had a career plans. I had relationship plans. I had my whole life planned out. It's like, this is how it's going to work. Not thinking that, look, I'm giving my life to Christ. What does that mean? He has control over my life. He says, this is what I want you to do. This is, my plans for you, which are far better than my own. At the time, you didn't think that way. But he really helped me to see, listen, live your life for me, not for yourself, and things will be a lot better. And they have been. It's been great. God was really working in my heart in college on that. And I got connected to the Summit Church through college. I met some friends. I was a marching man in the marching band at NC State. So I did that for 4 years.
I knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did that for 4 years, and I met a lot of friends there. Alto saxophone.
Okay.
Yeah. So
you still play the sax?
No.
Do you bring it today?
I'm very much out of practice. I see a couple of saxophone players that'll get up actually at Summit to play with the band, but I'm far out of practice with that, Kevin. It would be rough on everybody.
Oh, really?
hear. So.
So what was your degree? What's your career now?
So I was graduated with a bachelor's in environmental engineering from NC State. And what I do today is I work for the North Carolina's Department of Environmental Quality.
Okay.
And specifically I regulate drinking water systems in the state.
Yeah.
So, any of your large municipalities or utility companies that sell water to people, we regulate them, just making sure that they're following all the federal and state requirements to make sure it's safe for people.
So before we start talking about the mission trip to India, bring us up to missions exposure in your life. Did you take any other mission trips before then?
I did not. So my very first trip to India was my first time out of the country.
Okay.
But my missions exposure at that time, I did grow up in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so my church had a team of men usually that every so often would go take a trip to Mexico. And most of the time my dad went on it one time. And primarily what they would do, especially from hearing from my dad's experience when he was there and came back and told us, it was more of like a construction project. Like we'll go here, we'll do this for the church there in Mexico, help people that way. But to me, that was my exposure to missions was that. And we had on occasion we would have a pastor from outside of our church and that we supported in missions that would come and speak and tell us a little bit about the work he was doing. He went all over the place. So like Central America and Africa and places like that. And he would tell us stories. And so to me, it was a very distant thing, honestly, at that point when I was younger and hearing about missions, though I did have a thought that it would be cool to do that one day, to actually go and participate in missions for sure.
Yeah. If I've heard it once, I've heard it hundreds of times, and I'm sure you have as well. Why India? And so bring us into that story. How did God take you 8,000 miles away to the country of India?
That's like my favorite question because I never, ever, ever thought about. So I tell this people this honestly, especially after they've heard me talk about my trips to India and how passionate I am about it now. I never, ever thought about taking a trip to India. Honestly, I never thought about the country of India. I knew it existed. I knew a little bit about its culture. I'm a geography person. I love geography. So I knew about India. I knew about the culture being primarily Hindu.
You had more than me. I never had geography about India.
That's about all I knew was it's a Hindu country. It's more of in my back of mind, I was like, it's a third world country. That's all I know about it. And that was my knowledge going into it. And so the cool thing about being involved in a local church is God can use the church in your life to bring you into places that you never thought.
Yeah.
He uses his church in that way. And so I was serving the Summit Church at a campus at the Cary High School for a couple of years, I think about 5 years. And I was volunteering. We had volunteer teams. I was volunteering on the team that, because we were at a high school, it was temporary. We had a trailer that came and we would load up all the items, mostly for the kids ministry there, and put them in the trailer every week. Well, I had a good friend that I met, Paul, who was serving on the team with me. And, you know, we would go out because we were the very last team to leave. Oftentimes after we finished serving, we'd go out and get lunch together. We just kind of grew together, grew pretty close. And eventually there was a group of us guys that would be meeting at Paul's place to kind of have a like a Bible study once a week. And it was just cool to see community built organically like that. But in the midst of that, Paul took a mission trip to India. He was with you, Kevin, actually, I remember. And he came back and decided he was going to lead a trip. And so what he did is he just came, and because that group of guys, we had been meeting, we were close, he asked the group, hey, and asked me specifically, would you be willing to go to India? And it was the strangest feeling ever. I was thinking to myself, oh, first missions trip to India, really? But I felt like God kind of say yes. There was a lot of in moving out of college, and I was in my early in my career at that point. Had only been in work for about a, not even quite a year yet at that time. And I heard, I just felt like God was like, look, it's what you learned in college about doing and my plans for you. This was a part of that. And I knew that God was telling me that in that moment. I was like, okay. And so I just said, yes, it was the scariest yes I think I've ever given. I thought, this is crazy. Why India? I was like, I could go to the Caribbean or to Central America. It's much closer. I've never been out of the country before. This is a big leap, a really big leap. So that's how I ended up saying yes to my first mission trip to India.
Well, that's fascinating. Let's celebrate the beauty of a sending church. Some of our guests, we've not really dove into their local church before. I remember my transition off staff at Hope. I've shared this testimony on the podcast before, and God calling me to focus on Global Hope India full time. Pastor J.D. Greer had just written his book, The Gospel, and I submersed myself in that book and ended up for 3 years helping the Cary campus there with the Summit Church get established. I'm so excited to get to be a part of the life of the campus then. But unfortunately, many of our listeners don't resonate with attending a sending church. What was your, what impact did that have? At the end of every service with the Summit Church, they say, you are sent. How did that prepare you to say yes to this crazy idea of going to India?
That's a great question. So again, you know, my mission experience in the small church I grew up in, it was not that way. It was an encouragement. Hey, there's a group of guys going every so often. They'd send a team. The one thing that I think really when I was looking for a church or here when I came to school, I started going to Summit Church when I was in college, was really, I remember going there. It was probably the first or second. It was within the first two services I was there. They had a group of people come up on stage that they were sending out. I was like, oh, wow. Like that caught my attention. I was not used to that. I knew that Summit was a much larger church than what I grew up in. But to see their heart for sending people and really living out, there's a difference between listening and reading about what God has done and doing and knowing that you've been called to be a part of it. And I felt that that was a big part of what Summit was doing. And so honestly, I just saw God moving in that way in the church. And he just, I just kind of got swept up in it. It started with small steps of obedience. Like in this case, especially for my story, it just started with being obedient to serve. If I wasn't serving on that service team, I would never have had to ask probably to go to India. So that was a big thing, just being obedient and the small things, and then how that led to me, God helping me be obedient in those larger things.
I remember the day that the book of Acts was understood to be more than just a book in the Bible, but it was actually the recordings of a movement of the early disciples, and understanding that that never ended. The call to go did not end with the conclusion of the book of Acts. If anything, it was a call to continue the Acts. So you said yes and joined the book of Acts in going out, and Summit Church gave you a great environment to actually have that faith and that courage to do that.
Exactly. They made it easy, and they were already sending people. So it felt like a natural thing to, we even got up as the team was trying to build on Paul, who was our trip leader for that first trip that I was on, had a lot of people that he knew in the church, and We just made it public. We even had the church pray over us before we left, which was great. And that was super encouraging for the church to do that for us.
It's my desire and dream to see the local church do more of that.
Yes.
Not less of that. I know that we are culturally in a different environment, but biblically, we're all called to go.
Exactly.
And every local church should be a sending mission station for the Lord Jesus Christ. So you said, yes, you went to India. So give us a recap of just your time in India over the years, because you've gone multiple times now. So tell us about each trip briefly.
Yes. Yeah, so my very first trip to India with Paul, who led the trip, was to Northern India. And we went to the city of Dehradun, which it's right there in the northern part of India. It's in the, there's a very small mountain range to the south, and then to the north is the Himalayas. And so you're right at the foothill of the Himalayas.
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
It's a beautiful place. It was in the March of 2014 that I took my first trip there. And again, my first time out of the country. And so you could say culture shock for me. A lot of that trip was me just trying to, it was a lot of things that that first trip God was convicting me of. It was more of a get introduced to what I can do, what I'm doing here in India. That's kind of what God used that first trip of my life for. And really he used that as a springboard to go over and over again. Like I have, that first trip is the one I think that sticks out of all of them that sticks in my mind the most. I think of this a lot of times. I can just, like, if I'm thinking about it, I can just close my eyes and I feel like I'm back there. I can see the people. I just remember God saying, look, how many people here that you're seeing in this mass of people, especially we were leaving from that trip, coming back to there, we took a train up there from New Delhi and in India, and then back down. I remember we were about to leave the airport in New Delhi. We were at an intersection. There's some taxis there. It's kind of picturesque. The sun was setting. There are just people all over this intersection. It's Delhi.
You're not talking about two dozen. You're talking
I'm talking about thousands.
Tens of thousands.
And that's just who I could see in this one intersection. And I was looking out, and the thought came to me at that point, which was prompted, I'm sure, by the Holy Spirit. Like, how many of these people know the name of Jesus? Like, in reality, what do you think? And I thought to myself, there's a chance that none of them have. And that was like just a big, like, okay, well, there's still much to be done here. Just I don't know. I felt like as soon as I left, I knew I was going back. So I didn't know it was going to be as soon as it was, but I would get back. So again, I took another trip as a trip leader, which was a very different role for me. In October of 2015. So it was the very next year, a little bit more than a year, because it was in the fall instead of the spring. It was a different experience. So the first trip, I was the one that was nervous. I was the one that was trying to figure out what India was. I didn't have a clue what it was going to be like. This time it was different. I knew all those things, but I was the one trying to encourage other people that were in my shoes the first time, that were like, oh, what about this? What about that? That's the same concerns I had. I probably asked a million questions before my very first trip to India. And now I was answering a million questions. People were like, what about this? Is this going to be okay? You know, what about my passport and my visa? And can I bring this on the plane? And sometimes you're like, yes, yes, no, don't do that. That was a little bit different role, but it was different, but it was just as good, because I got to see God moving, like, just saying yes. Not only the first time I got to see him say, move and saying yes and be obedient to just the call to go. This time, the call to invite others to join. And I'm a planner. I love to plan. I'm type A. I like to plan things out. India is not that way. I'm sure you know this very well, Kevin. Anytime, if you ever heard a story from India, sometimes plans that you have, they don't work out. Things just don't work.
Oh, we're going to hear some stories. You've got some up your sleeves.
I have some great stories.
I can't wait.
I love my stories. But it's just, I don't know, God let me see a lot of people grow that I didn't expect in that trip. There's some people that came that I, you know, I invite people, but I invited a lot of people, but people that came wouldn't have been the ones I would have expected. But that's great. My plans were not as good. Again, they're not as good as what God had in store and how he was going to use people. The people that he ended up bringing on the trip and how he used them was just kind of blew my mind. And so I got to see him from that perspective, where I saw him working in other people in that trip. And so that was awesome.
And it never gets old.
Oh no, it absolutely never gets old.
Coming back from 51 times, taking nearly 1,000 people, I just keep reliving my first trip so many times through the eyes of others, and just watching them grow as God has used India to change my life. And it never gets old. I pray I get to go back 51 more times. yeah. By the grace of God.
Yeah.
So on your first trip, God got bigger in your eyes. All of a sudden, you're in a totally different country.
Yes.
And he is saying, I am God. I am here. And I've died for these people too. Mm-hmm. And you're looking across and there's thousands of people. You grew up in rural area of North Carolina where you didn't see people for miles at times. And now mm-hmm. you're seeing tens of thousands in an acre of land in India. Your call got clearer as you were leaving, and God just, I identify with that, because for many times I celebrated that before I was leaving India, my next flight was already booked. I don't always have that opportunity, but the urgency to go continues to increase. It does mm-hmm. not decrease. You would think that at some point, maybe you would just have a sense of the Holy Spirit relaxing and saying, okay, you don't need to go as much. And yeah, there are seasons and flows of things like that. But I understand what you were saying as far as the Holy Spirit prompting you with an urgency to return. And now you're getting this, to see leadership develop in your life. So yeah. Tell us about your other times that you went to India.
So my third trip was, my second trip, I didn't mention this, was down to southern India. We were in Chennai.
Okay.
I'm serving. And so my third trip was back there in Chennai, mm-hmm. working with our partner there. And this trip was interesting. It was a smallest team I had been on in the trip to India, and only one of us had never been. And so there was more experience on that team. That was another interesting trip. So the first time I'd been, a lot of us hadn't been before. The second time, I was the only one that had been there before. This time, it was just a lot of us that we had been there before. And so it was interesting. We weren't as really concerned with let's get used to the culture and mm-hmm. the culture shock. We were just all about, let's go share the gospel mm-hmm. here in these villages that we were going to minister to.
Yeah.
And, but the ministry we did primarily during that third trip, which I thought was very interesting, because I came from the background of, we go to the mission field and you build things. No, mm-hmm. no. So this trip was primarily, we would go and have volleyball tournaments mm-hmm. out at these villages, number of villages during the week. And it was great because a lot of the local Indians thought it was great that Americans would come to their village, mm-hmm. their village.
Yeah.
That we would go and take our time to go there, play and have fun and volleyball, which, by the way, India is undefeated. we lost every single game and we were trying really hard too. So yeah. That's not like a give me. We had a great time, just enjoying time with them mm-hmm. and showing love for them mm-hmm. at that moment. And then at the end of each tournament, we had a time where we would congratulate the winner of the tournament, but then we would have an opportunity where the whole village was gathered for these tournaments to go and just share the gospel with the entire village right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really, really cool thing. And because all of us had been there, there was just a maturity with that particular team. It was just awesome to see God use everybody. Everybody had an opportunity to share their testimony, to mm-hmm. tell them why they desired to share the gospel with these people, to them and say, look, we care for you. We want to we love you. And part of that is telling you about Jesus mm-hmm. and what he's done for me and for you, mm-hmm. what he's done for me, all the good things he's done in my life, those same things he can do for you.
Yeah.
And that was just a really good trip to be able to do that. And there's some great stories from that particular trip, actually.
Well, let's paint a picture of that, because people can appreciate if I can hold a hammer in my hand, God can use me in missions.
Mm-hmm.
If I can hold a Bible in my hand and preach, God can use me in missions. But what if you're an environmental engineer? And probably 90% of our audience doesn't necessarily hold a Bible in their career, in their hand, as far as a pastor, an evangelist, mm-hmm. or a hammer in their hand. So what could God possibly do with me on the mission field? And you said, become a volleyball player. You're not a professional volleyball player.
Oh no.
This team was not professional. This was not the U.S. Olympic volleyball team.
Absolutely
over
not.
There. But it became a very natural way to live and proclaim the gospel. Describe that to our listeners.
Well, the question you ask about what can somebody with environmental engineering background do in India? And that's a great question, because that's the very same one I was asking.
Mm-hmm.
My first trip, I was like, nothing I'm doing is going to, I just didn't see it translating well in India initially. I thought, well, how am I going to be used here? And honestly, the biggest thing is it's not about doing those actual things. That's all necessarily the most important. There are times we have people that have special skills mm-hmm. that are able to go to India and they really are able to use those. And God's able to take those talents and just use those in ways that just are multiplied there. But even for people that you're like, how does that translate to missions in India?
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's not as much about what you do as much how much you care about other people knowing the gospel.
Yeah.
And I was just, God changed my heart in going, especially the first trip where I realized if I didn't do anything that whole week, but just have an opportunity to pray with people, that was going to be just amazing. And I saw that there was times where we thought, oh, we're going to do this certain program. But like I said, I'm a planner. Things change in Indy. You think you're going to do one thing, you could be doing something completely different. And a lot of times that was, I'm just having an opportunity to talk with and share your testimony with people and be praying with people. And that's a great opportunity in that to share the gospel through prayer. I love when I'm praying with people to pray the gospel to people. Like, that's a great way to share it. And it's very non-confrontational because people will allow you to pray for them. And even if they don't believe in Jesus, I saw that God could use me just because he said, I'm going to give you my heart for the people here. And you just go and love them with the love that I've given you to love them with. And that just, that was the biggest thing. And so, and then there's unique ways like the volleyball. I'm not the best at that. I'm not, our team was not the best at that, like you mentioned, but that wasn't the point. It was fun just then. They cared more about the fact that we were there and that we were willing to like spend time with them. They're in a very rural village and they're kind of isolated as far as for India, because India, like you said, there's people everywhere in India. You're not very isolated anywhere. People would come out of the, you know, from another country to come visit them. I'm sure that probably hasn't happened before for most of these places. And so that showed them that we care. And that's a big thing.
Back in the day, you could go into a rural village like that and set up a platform and begin to preach and people would come out and listen. Or you could sing songs, Christian songs, and they would come out and listen and you'd have a platform. But today that has changed. If you do that today, you're going to get stoned. You're going to get pushed out of the community. But everyone welcomed in the volleyball tournament. And it wasn't about volleyball. And it wasn't a bait and switch. It wasn't a let us trick you into us being allowed to give you the gospel. The whole ministry began with friendship, just genuinely caring for them. We've talked about that time and time again as far as the culture of Global Hope India. But I'd love to just hear your take on that. Because when that moment comes of presenting the awards to the winning team, did it become extremely awkward about, you know, now you've got the eyes of hundreds of people around the volleyball tournament, and all of a sudden someone begins to share their testimony about how it was the love of Christ that compelled you to come to the village and how it was what Jesus did on the cross that gives you hope and that that is the prayer blessing over this village. Did that become awkward? Do you feel like all of a sudden you were forced to become an evangelist in a way that you weren't prepared to?
Oh, no. And that was the cool thing is that it made it, it was not very like blunt or what, in a way that I would describe it is if you're just going to the village and all you're doing is putting your stand there in the middle of the village and, and being an evangelist is almost kind of confrontational in a way. This was more of a, here, we care about you. And then it was just almost a natural thing. And the cool thing is that when we did do our presentation and share the gospel, there wasn't anybody leaving. Like everyone was still there. And still listening.
And had they perceived in a moment that you were there for false motives, they would have walked away quickly. But by that time you had won the right because you had sweated with them. You had let them beat you in volleyball, you know, not let them, but they ended up beating the team in volleyball. And that was a good hour long building of relationships, smiling with them, high-fiving them, saying good job to them as they were spiking the ball down your throats, you know, and all of that. But it broke the ice. And now you're friends and they're very open to hearing about you and why you would come to their village. And you know, prayer is a very cultural reality across all of India. Every religious group prays. They have their prayers. So for a Christian group to come in and offer to pray blessing over them is widely received. And I liked what you said earlier about they may not know Jesus, but you can still pray the gospel over them. What you're telling us, Andrew, is the Holy Spirit believes in Jesus. And so, because when you're praying, you're not really praying to them, you're praying to Almighty God. And he knows the story of the gospel. And so you're praying for God to reveal that to the person that you're praying over. And he does. That's where you're putting your hope. It's not a force of I have to do something to open up this man's eyes. It's I'm praying to the one who can.
Exactly.
And that gives you a lot of freedom to just be very natural, a friend of the gospel to them.
Oh yeah. You trust God to be the one to change their hearts. And when you have an opportunity to share the gospel by whatever, even if it's just a very, very simple presentation, mm-hmm. like you trust God to use that. He's brought you all the way over here. Why don't take the opportunity just to share what you can, when you can, and then trust God to move in that.
We got to move on, but real quickly, describe when those prayers were prayed, what happened? What did you see in front of your eyes time and again through? You did volleyball tournaments in various settings all throughout the week. What did you see? Did they respond in anger? What did you see with your eyes?
Most of the time when you pray with people there that I've experienced, it's been thankfulness. Like they would actually usually approach you. Mm-hmm. We want prayer and you're willing to pray with us. Please pray for us. And we will pray for them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. And just make sure that we're very specific about that, because India is a very religious country. They believe in Hinduism. There's an untold number of gods they believe in. You know, you have to be clear that, like, when you're praying to Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. The one true God. And we do that. And, you know, I've never had a backlash from praying with anybody. Mm-hmm. I'm in India. And actually, people would just be very thankful. A lot of times they would either try to, like, almost embrace you or they would, like, shake your hand or something mm-hmm. like that after you would pray with them. So, it was more of a, they're grateful that you'd be willing to do that with them. And yeah, it was just, I haven't experienced anything where when I prayed, you know, something changed instantly, mm-hmm. but I have faith that God takes those prayers and uses them, even if, you know, mm-hmm. something I haven't been able to see myself.
Yeah. So in a very brief moment, someone shares the testimony and clearly explains the gospel. Gospel bracelets are shared with everyone mm-hmm. in attendance. And then there's that prayer blessing corporately over the entire village. But then there's the offering of individual prayer. And regularly you see people, the volleyball players that just beat you are now lining up asking you to pray for them, and not just you, but every team member's getting people to come up and asking for prayer.
That's right.
So tell us about your other trips.
That was my third trip to India. Mm-hmm. My fourth trip to India was a more of a unique trip. It was when I traveled by myself, which was not as fun. International travel is not as fun by yourself, but I came, Global Hope India hosted a gathering for our partners in India, mm-hmm. and I had worked with many of them and going to my previous trips, and, you know, I got to meet all of them mm-hmm. there, and that was just really cool. I mm-hmm. got to see the partners' hearts for God, how much they desire the people of India to know Christ, mm-hmm. and just to also hear the testimonies of how God's already using them in tremendous ways there, mm-hmm. and the fact that we could go for a little while, and there's a group from Hope Community that was mm-hmm. there, and a group from Elevation that came. Mm-hmm. And so it was cool to see on our side, we had people from all over the place, different churches that were coming together to encourage our brothers and sisters in India mm-hmm. and just let them know that we care for them and just encourage them in different ministry areas of ministry. Mm-hmm. And so I really enjoyed getting to know all of our partners. There's some that I, you know, had met very briefly before, but to talk to them more mm-hmm. and not. I just I think that, you know, the church in India is in good hands when I see them. And that was a very encouraging trip for me mm-hmm. to see how God's working in the church in India. And even though, you know, we're here every day and we take teams on occasion, God's always working. He's always mm-hmm. his church is presence everywhere, even in India. And he's always working to save people in India through his church. It was just an encouragement and a reminder to me that we're there for a week for our mm-hmm. 10-day trips, oftentimes our mm-hmm. short-term mission trips with Global Hope India, but God's always there.
Yeah.
And his church is always there. And it was just very encouraging to me.
I love the dual aspects of what you've described for us. One is outreach, being out with the people that are far from God mm-hmm. and just seeing the Holy Spirit moving in their lives through your efforts. The other one is more of leadership development, just really mm-hmm. pouring into the leaders, the gospel workers, the pastors, the evangelists of India. And there is a need for both all across India.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we take it for granted. We have so many pastors' conferences and opportunities to grow here, but there in India, they really are starved for that support, for that prayer, for that biblical encouragement mm-hmm. that the team brought them during that pastor's gathering that we hosted there. I'm really glad that you were a part of that.
Yeah, I am too. And it was I think it's important. We're so used to Christianity is such a big thing here in the U.S. We feel like we've got churches everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have people that will encourage each other. Mm-hmm. But in India, that the church is much, you know, smaller compared to the total population there. Yeah. And so to me, honestly, when you can understand them feeling like this is a daunting task, mm-hmm. there's just so much, you know, brokenness here mm-hmm. all around us. Just getting a chance to encourage them any way possible mm-hmm. is a great thing. And it's a great thing for us to be able to do. Mm-hmm. I just think back to scripture and how Paul, when he writes his letter to his churches, the churches that he, you know, he visited, he just encouraged them mm-hmm. how important that is and mm-hmm. the relationship he had with them. And yeah. it just reminds me of that. You know, they're all the way on the other side of the world from us here in the United States. Mm-hmm. But we still get a chance to encourage them just as, you know, they encourage us too, mm-hmm. as we're over there. And we're like, wow, like mm-hmm. here it's so easy for us in a way. It's hard for in certain ways mm-hmm. To, you know, share the gospel here in the United States. But the task there just seems so large. And yeah. so it's encouraging to see their faithfulness in that. Mm-hmm. And so it's mutually encouraging,
yeah.
which I think is biblical mm-hmm. you know, to see that come to life.
And we don't always depend upon it here in the States, need it. We don't perceive the need like mm-hmm. they might in India. But when we think of an American going over to India, we think of evangelism. But yet when you're there, you realize the value of the ministry of encouragement, of just holding another brother's hand or sister's hand in the faith and praying strength over them, that they would be bold and that their needs would be met. Mm-hmm. Often you are a firsthand witness to needs that you cannot meet with your own billfold, out of your own wallet. But the Holy Spirit is, God is great and can meet every need. And so the call then is just to pray. If you can't meet it yourself, you know, to really lean on the Holy Spirit to meet the needs. It's not always financial. It can be someone is just needing energy and strength and encouragement.
Yes.
And bravery mm-hmm. to continue on.
Now imagine yourself on the Ford Mission Field. You and your team are on the bus going to today's programs. After singing a few songs, Pastor Kevin stands to deliver a devotion.
Come on now, I'm ready.
Okay, team, I want you to gather around and I want you to hear this word from God to you today. The word is presence. As we go out into today's programs, I want you to meditate on this word. Capture it in your heart. I want you to see and hear and experience this word, presence. Jesus gave us one of the most incredible promises that we'll ever receive in the Great Commission. You know it well. Matthew 28, it says, "Go ye therefore into all the world." And we are given the Great Commission. And he ends it by saying, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Right then and there, he is promising his presence. He's also teaching us what is most valuable. He could have promised, "And be sure of this, you will have millions of dollars for your programs. Be sure of this, you're going to have the best health ever your entire life for the ministry. Be sure of this." And we could go on and on and on. But what he wanted to get across to us is that the presence of God is the most valuable resource we have ever received and we will ever be given and we will ever have. Moses knew this. Now, Moses was not a perfect follower of God. He was not a perfect leader. But when it came to the value on the presence of God in Exodus 33, he is having a conversation with God saying, "You are sending me out. You're giving me this task. Tell me who you're going to send with me." And God says, "I will send my presence with you." And even there in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we see that the presence of God is supreme above all other gifts, above anything else. And yet in our earthly minds, we have a tendency to think of many things that could possibly be more valuable than the presence of God. It's when we get into ministry, when we get into the raw lives of people in missions that we realize there is nothing that is more valuable than the presence of God. We are told that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit and that by salvation
in Christ, we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we're told it is Christ in us that is the hope of glory. And so what matters today is not your presence or my presence. What matters today is the presence of Almighty God. Jesus said to the disciples, "It is for your good that I go away." How could he possibly think that it would be good for this long-awaited Savior to now ascend back into heaven and to leave the disciples and the church without his presence? But he said, "It's for your good that I go away, because the Father will send the promised Holy Spirit to you." Jesus had humbled himself and became 100% God and 100% man. He was confined to the flesh, just like you and I are. But the good news is, on the day of Pentecost, the church received the presence, the very same presence that Jesus showed us in his life, made available to each and every one of us through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That presence that Moses spoke to, that presence that Jesus promised, is in you. And that's what's going to make the difference today. That is where the healing power comes from. That's where the power to restore lives, the power to forgive sin, the power to bring that which is turned into ashes and make it beautiful again, the power to deliver, the power to heal, is Almighty God's presence within us. So hear that word, presence. All throughout the day, I want you to celebrate the presence of God. Call on the presence of God. Expect the presence of God. Value God's presence above everything else. Are you ready? Let's go. Ready, set, go.
Global Hope India empowers the church in India through multiple channels. One of the most influential methods has proven to be sending individuals on short-term trips to India. During your 10 days in India, you will make a difference, be the hands and feet of Jesus, and see the lives of Indian internationals transformed by the gospel. We have opportunities in children's ministry, women's ministry, job training, medical missions, and more. Experience a life-changing adventure. If you're looking to make an impact, India is the place, and GHI is the opportunity. See our trips at globalhopeindia.org/go.
We want to give some local love to our friends at Future Homes by Jim Thompson, located in Apex, North Carolina. With over 40 years of home building experience, the Thompson family has established itself as a trusted and consistent provider of the area's finest new homes. Jim Thompson's BuildZoom score places the company in the top 98% of contractors in North Carolina. Not only are the homes extravagantly beautiful, but their hearts are generous. We recognize Jim and his wife Eileen's witness for Christ and their incredible generosity for expanding heaven through gospel missions. Check out their website today at futurehomesonline.com.
So, Andrew, how has God used missions to change your life?
Oh, this is a question. I found it hard to narrow it down.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you for one word. So
I know. I think probably the biggest way it's changed my life is just faith. And I just think about the fact that God called me to go and take a step of faith, mm-hmm. and said, and really in saying that, he was like, "Look, trust me to do what I do, mm-hmm. and to hold you as you're going out into this place where you don't know what's going to happen." Mm-hmm. I didn't know what was going to happen, but that I'm going to be there. I'm going to provide all those things that he promises. You trust me, this is your faith. And it helped build my faith because I did. It was a scary time. I had stepped out in faith to go, but then I saw how God provided. Not only can we say more than you ask or imagine, mm-hmm. that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. I expected like God to help me with some of my fears and things like that, but he did more than I could have ever thought. And it mm-hmm. looked different than I thought it was going to look. Mm-hmm. But he was faithful, and his faithfulness increased my faith. Like I see him show up. I was thinking about this, you know, before the podcast today, just how he does the same thing. We talked about the book of Acts earlier, how mm-hmm. he does that. He calls people to do something and says, "Trust me with this." Mm-hmm. You see a little bit of it in the gospels where, like, simple examples where Jesus tells his disciples, hey, go find the, you know, the donkey he's going to ride into Jerusalem. Like, hey, go find it. It's going to be here. And the scripture's like, when they got there, there it was. Mm-hmm. And then he tells them to go prepare the room for the Passover. Mm-hmm. They go and they find everything like exactly like Jesus told them to, or especially in the book of Acts. I just think of like stepping out in faith, like Ananias and Paul. Mm-hmm. Like Ananias is being told, hey, go see Saul, who's persecuting the church. Mm-hmm. And Ananias is like, hey, like this dude's persecuting the church.
Yeah.
But God called him to do that and step out and say, trust me mm-hmm. here, even though it's scary, even though you don't necessarily, outside of me telling you, you don't know what's going to happen. And just saying, yes, I trust you, and going and doing it and seeing mm-hmm. what happens. That's kind of how it's changed my life. I see how when I do step out in faith, when I do get in places where it is a little uncomfortable for me, mm-hmm. but I say, okay, God, I'm trusting you here to see his faithfulness, to see him show up. It's increased my faith to be able to do stuff like that now. I'm much more likely to say yes to things, even you know, another trip to India or this type of ministry or this, just because I've seen him be faithful in it. If I hear the call from God to do it, mm-hmm. I can trust him to provide in that. So yeah. I think that's probably one of the biggest things that's changed in my life is just my faith in him to do that.
Is that your word? If you could describe your trip experience in one word?
No, I think my one word would be, I was trying to narrow it down to one word, mm-hmm. probably be change, which you're like, oh, missions changed my life. That's kind of a cop-out answer, but no, it's mm-hmm. it really is. Mm-hmm. And the reason is it's changing people in India and it's changing me. Mm-hmm. And just to see how God is changing India. He's changing lives from people that had no hope mm-hmm. and now have hope in Jesus, mm-hmm. Even amidst some really difficult like circumstances in their life.
Yeah.
And then the change is been enormous, not only in my faith, but mm-hmm. My prayer life and just my confidence in him to do, God to do everything that I need to sustain whatever I do. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's been a change. Change is definitely the biggest thing. And yeah. So missions changed my life. It will absolutely change your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been a change in the Americans that you've taken to India as well.
Oh yeah.
And that's the whole premise of this podcast, is just to champion that, because you know, the mission of Global Hope India is to see the Indian nationals that are absent to the gospel transformed to be ambassadors for the gospel. And so mm-hmm. the whole focus is on change in India, but God is not in debt to any American that will go. He absolutely uses a missions trips to change our lives as well.
Yeah. It's just great that the gospel changes everything. It really does. Mm-hmm. And God will change everything. Like he will change who you are to make you more in the image of Christ, mm-hmm. whatever that looks like. And for me, part of that was going to India mm-hmm. on a missions trip, and he's changing lives in India through the gospel. It's just great. God changes us, which we need.
Yeah.
I needed a lot of change in my life and yeah, God. So my word has absolutely changed. He changed me in great ways through the trip. Mm-hmm.
That's great. We just crossed over into 2020, and a lot of people need to really come to faith in God's call to go in 2020, really praying that over our brothers and sisters in Christ. How are you going to live different this year as a result of having gone on a mission, on these mission trips with Global Hope India?
For me, the big thing is always be praying about things. Like when mm-hmm. praying with people in India, mm-hmm. go into everything with prayer, because God works through prayer. You see mm-hmm. that like in India, and some of the other people you've had on the podcast, they've attested to that. They've mm-hmm. prayed with people. They've seen things change. Just to be praying and praying for entering 2020 with, you know, just a position of prayer, like, God, I trust you to, and asking you to more change into my life, to grow me even more into the image of Christ and mm-hmm. closer to you. But also for other people too. And, you know, I have a small group that I'm a part of for Summit Church. And, you know, I've seen change in people's lives there too, mm-hmm. change for them. Just, you know, and part of that is encouraging people to, you know, change. We're talking about Global Hope India, encouraging people and that you would change their heart to be willing to say yes to go. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes a process. I think God called me at the right time. Of course, it's his timing's perfect, but like sometimes it takes people time to process and think about it. And God has to change their heart, mm-hmm. be able to say yes mm-hmm. To it. Though I wouldn't use that as an excuse, because people like to use excuses. Mm-hmm. I was one of them. Like, hey, he's like, well, let me pray about it, is our favorite excuse as Christians. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so that's more of like, well, maybe God hasn't changed my heart in this yet, but just my prayer is that God would change people's hearts, not only this year, but years to follow.
Yeah.
To say yes and just to take out fear that might exist and things like that that may be hindering people from saying yes.
Mm-hmm.
We have lots of excuses. I had lots of excuses. So
it's easy to hear these big words, faith and change and missions, and to really think of it as something been there, done that. And it's sort of like what we talked about earlier with the book of Acts. Acts is to continue. It never ended. And so that development of faith continues, that change continues. And it continues in very practical ways. And so I appreciate you sharing about how you're now praying very differently as a result of having gone on a mission trip. And there's so many practical applications to your faith growing and God changing you through missions like that I really wish every believer in the U.S. could have the benefit of. There is a size of God that you may not experience until you go onto foreign soil and realize that God is so much bigger than what you saw in your hometown.
Yes.
And there is a work of the Holy Spirit you may not have experienced as far as the miracles and the transformation that you'll see when you're on a mission trip over in India. And it will absolutely change how you live in 2020 and 2021, 2022. It'll be a much different story, as Joe talks about. You know, tell a better story. And mm-hmm. and what you've done in this episode is you've told God has given you an even greater story of Andrew's life as a result of missions. And I really appreciate you sharing that story. Any final words encouragement?
My encouragement to other people that may be considering is, listen, especially if you've never been outside of the American Christian culture, is be willing to step out mm-hmm. and take a look at it from the outside. Again, I grew up in the church. I was probably, you know, grew up in what people here could call like a cultural Christian like background. I just grew up in it. There was, you know, as a kid, I didn't know there wasn't people that didn't believe in God. Mm-hmm. Like that was just, I was just so ingrained in that. And to step out of that and look at what God's doing other places and looking at how the American church is not perfect. You know, mm-hmm. we right. do a lot of things that are, you know, in the American culture, it's just part of the culture, kind of seeps itself into our lives sometimes. And just to see where, you know, a church that, and especially in India, where they are absolutely 100% fully dependent on God, they're not dependent on their own resources whatsoever.
Right.
And, you know, you can't see that unless you get out of it. And so mm-hmm. I encourage people to go and get out of the what it feels like to be part of the American church and help them to see, like for me now, a big part of going out there is to see that same passion and dependence on God brought to the American church, where we're mm-hmm. not dependent on all of our finances and our resources, but we're just dependent on God mm-hmm. primarily above everything else. And so, you know, I really, really encourage people to go to just see that, experience that, and also just to let God change their life. There's no way that I'm the same in my walk with God without going.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and there's people that he's right now, you're listening to the podcast. He may be calling you to go do the same thing. And it's absolutely scary
mm-hmm.
and it's nervous and you may have a lot of questions, mm-hmm. But just trust him to do what he says he's going to do, which mm-hmm. is be with you as you're going out to share the gospel.
Yeah.
I mean, in the Great Commission, he says, look, go and do these things, but I'm with you
mm-hmm.
Through it all. And so like trust in him to do that. Yeah.
Well, our listeners would probably identify as a person who has come to faith in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And often one of the tricks of the enemy is you have come to faith. Faith is something been there, done that. But yet in God's plan, faith is something that grows. And so did your faith grow in 2019? Hopefully the answer is yes, but there is a act of God called missions to grow our faith. And it is one of the ways that we can put faith and work side by side.
Mm-hmm.
And the result will be a development of our faith. And I would love for you just to end our episode by just praying for faith, praying that people listening would just be given a very fresh wind of the Holy Spirit in just the gift of faith. And if they are wrestling with saying yes to God, will you go where he says go? Will you do what he says do? And if he's identifying an action to that, that they will have faith to say yes and absolutely. To do that. And we'd love to take them to India.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So let's pray.
Father, thank you so much for just who you are. Thank you for the love that you've poured out on us through Christ, that we have now been seen as righteous in your eyes because of the blood of Jesus that covers all of our sins, all of our transgressions. All of us fall short of your glory, of your holiness. And yet you've given us a righteousness through Christ that now we can come and even come to you now in prayer and just say, to where we can ask you of anything. If you've given us Jesus, what can we not ask you for? You've already given us something so great we can't comprehend it. So, Father, we come to you and just in prayer and just thankfulness and just want to praise and honor the name of Christ. Mm-hmm. And Father, we just thank you for just giving us an opportunity to be praying with people that are listening right now. Father, that you are working maybe in many hearts today. Father, I just want to pray over them and for myself and for Kevin. Mm-hmm. Just faith, Father. Pray that you would increase our faith. Oftentimes, Father, we are short on faith. We don't trust you to do what we need to do, or you are calling us to do. We oftentimes want to do it on our own means, our own resources, our own plans. But your ways and your plans are far greater than ours. And so we just ask you to trust you where you've called us to go. Help us to be obedient and to go and do the things that you've called us, whether that's a missions trip to India, which of course we hope many people you're calling to, or whether that's simply going across the street to talk to somebody's neighbor, that you would give us the faith that you're working all around us, that you're with us as we go, wherever we're going, and that you're going to be working in people's hearts. You're going to be changing people's lives through your gospel. And just help us to have a faith that's rooted in you and what you've done, that we would trust you. We know that our salvation is all based off faith in who you are and what you've done. And so help us to have the faith. If our faith is rooted in that, Father, help us to have that faith in everything that you are. If we can trust you with our salvation, Father, we can trust you with anything. And so help us to build our faith, Father. Help break down barriers, Father, as many people may be questioning, well, what about this? What about that? And there's many, it's scary, Father, when we trust you. Sometimes it's just like, think about Peter on the boat, Father. You called him to go out and step out, and it made no sense. He was able to go and walk on water for a time because you allowed that. You made it possible. Father, help us to have a faith in your power and your authority, not on our own. And I just pray that you would give us, Father, our listeners and others, just a heart, Father, to just go where you call us to go. As you give us faith, Father, that we would go boldly into places that need to hear your gospel, that you would be glorified in those places. In India, especially, Father, as many people don't know you. We just ask that you would send many, many laborers, Father, into the fields of India, that people would come to know you and begin to say and just praise you for your gospel, which has already been, the work's already been done, Father. They just yet to hear. So send us, Father, give us faith to go so that others can have that faith, Father, that faith will multiply faith. And that's the work of you. So work in our hearts to give us faith, Father, that others may have a faith and a joy and a hope. That's in Jesus. And we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Oh, thank you for having me, Kevin.
I really can't thank you enough for being a supporter of Global Hope India, going to India, serving on the board, being a friend, being a leader. Praise God. May God bless you, Andrew.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Kevin.
Do you have a story for us? We've set up a dedicated phone line to record your story. Simply dial 95-MISSION-5. That's 95-MISSION-5. How has your mission trip experience changed your everyday life? Call 95-MISSION-5 and leave us a message. If we use your message on the show, we'll send you a Starbucks e-gift card. That's 95-MISSION-5. This episode is complete, so head over to globalhopeindia.org for show notes, resources, and opportunities to go to India through GHI. Continue to be radically transformed by God as you live out the Great Commission, and we'll see you again next week here at Missions Change My Life.